Welcome to the Sanctuary Life Podcast, where we take you through a day in the life of animal rescues and sanctuaries across the country. Whether you are an experienced sanctuary staffer, one of the countless volunteers who work so hard at sanctuaries each day, or someone who just loves animals, we hope this journey can give you a behind-the-scenes peek into just what it takes to live the sanctuary life. Now, here's your host, Brandon Feisner, co-founder of Louisville, Kentucky's Butterfly Valley Rescue and Sanctuary.
For this week's episode, we head northeast to the Boston suburb of Sherburn, Massachusetts, to meet co-founder and executive director of Unity Farm Sanctuary, Kathy Halamka. Unity Farm Sanctuary formally began in December 2016 with a mission to provide a safe and loving lifelong home to farmed animals, to offer the public unique educational programs, and to promote a culture of kindness and connection. Kathy is an entrepreneur, professional artist, and a professor that brings a background of business and visual arts, and time as an arts educator and training there, and brings all of that to the sanctuary. At the sanctuary, she directs their humane education program, runs public tours, co-manages animal care, serves as a devoted activist for animals and the environment, runs the volunteer program, manages social media platforms, and co-manages the funding. Basically, she helps do it all. She describes herself as compassionate, tireless, and determined. She can often be found spending time with handsome Paul the turkey and her other feathered friends. Kathy, thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of the Sanctuary Life Podcast. We are so honored to have you with us.
It's very much my pleasure. Nice to meet you, Brandon.
Yes. So we obviously talked about your background in the bio there, but what was it exactly that inspired you, a person that was an entrepreneur, a professional artist, and a professor who started selling their art when they were only 12 years old, to then jump into starting a farmed animal sanctuary?
I think you'll talk to most people and they'll say, oh, I love animals. And that's one thing. It tends to be, I love companion animals. So fast forward many, many years, and my husband and I, who have been vegan for not quite 20 years, almost at this point, the natural thing, that next step forward in terms of having an impact and making our lives have some legacy, is to create this place. He speaks about it as a community benefit startup. That's that tech entrepreneur in him, but it is very much a passion. So you could find him today building a little shelter for some of our sheep, or you might find him fixing something. And for myself, I'm very hands-on, working with volunteers and people day in and day out. So we look on this as a labor of love and are very excited to have this outlive us, in fact, and have it ripple out good in the world. So that's our plan.
And you certainly aren't alone in this venture, and you just brought him into this and talked about him. But what is it like working with your husband, John, who, for those that don't know, is the president of the Mayo Clinic platform that kind of works with introducing AI into healthcare and is also a practicing emergency physician? I must say, it certainly seems like you all are quite the power couple, and I wouldn't want to get in your way.
We are pretty tireless, but I don't think you're going to meet anybody more humble than my husband. He is not afraid to muck a stall or speak to a leader in another country. So it wherever we can have the most impact and do the most good, genuinely. And we've been partners in everything that we've done since I was 17 and he was 18 at the very beginning of college. So I think that it's just something that we do together, that we try to be a team. So, and it needs that. If you speak to other people who have founded sanctuaries, it is, it's really wonderful to have somebody whom you can work with to achieve your goals.
Yes, I love that. You certainly can't do this alone, no matter how much passion or anything else you have. That will only take you so far by yourself.
True.
Can you tell us a little more about Unity Farm Sanctuary and just some of like the species that you all care for, how many total animals are in your care, just kind of the 10,000 foot overview of the sanctuary.
Sounds good. Well, we're in Sherbourne, Massachusetts, which is not completely rural, like many sanctuaries might be seeking land that is a little bit more affordable. We chose to be within the what's called the Metro West here in the Boston suburbs. It is urban or rural urban, and it was very intentional. We have the ability to reach out to people all through a huge population. So people can reach us from Rhode Island, New Hampshire, and central Massachusetts, as well as the surrounding communities. We have 62 mammals. If I haven't miscounted in it, 63, which is possible because even though I tell everybody we're full, sometimes we really have to step up and help someone. We have about 260 birds, so that we have a lot of feathered friends, including my beloved handsome Paul, who is in the middle of molting. If you don't know what that is, look that one up for sure. So we have about 30 acres, not quite, and we are adjacent to some public land also. So we have 4.5 miles of public walking trails we encourage people to come and enjoy. We believe in the things that are all-encompassing. We have the animal rescue. We have the social justice side of humane education, and we have the environmental save the planet side of humane education. It's all the together, whether or not we're helping to advocate for farmed animals and wildlife. It's one thing. So that's how we view that.
Awesome. And that's pretty impressive to have 30 acres or access to 30 acres that close to Boston. And I know here locally, obviously a much smaller city in Louisville, Kentucky, but that's one of our goals as we continue to grow and expand our sanctuary is we want to stay as close to the city as possible. So I love that was kind of a goal of your all's and the intentional nature of reaching so many people.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, as a side note to that, we cannot rescue our way out of the problem. There's millions of animals that need rescuing. So by being near people, we have the ability to introduce a lot of humane education. So,
yes, and that humane education will make a much bigger, longer lasting impact than any rescues that we could ever do. So I know from what I've read that you started rescuing long before you formally founded Unity Farm Sanctuary in 2016. And one of those animals that came before the sanctuary was a sweet little pig named Hazel Marie that just turned 11 years old.
Yes.
What can you tell us about that adorable little pig?
Well, she is a potbelly, so considered what people will call a mini pig. She is probably about 225 pounds. She's doing really well, but we still want to maybe shave off a little bit more weight. So our mini pigs get wonderful salads of fresh vegetables, very little grain, and that is designed to keep their weight really good. So she very likely was surrendered in reality because she was much bigger than people expected. She was a house pig. And a lot of people who are from Europe and other countries look at me with quizzical eyes when I say house pig, because it seems to be an American little quirk that happens. We have 6 ex-house pigs here, actually. Hazel was surrendered in theory because the family said that they didn't have time for her anymore. And like any companion animal, they are a big commitment and they take love and attention. She is smart, and all pigs really are, but she is extremely friendly and loves belly rubs, wags her tail, and she has her personal quirk that she really doesn't want to live with another pig, because when they're taken away from pig society when very young and just living in a house without other animals, sometimes I think that they lose that ability to form a community. My big farm pigs love to sleep together, but some of my mini pigs are like, I don't think so.
And it's interesting that you brought up the term house pig, and how kind of that is a very American thing. And I know with mini pigs being one of the animals that we rescue, it's amazing how often people try to have house pigs. And I'm not going to say it is impossible, but it's very difficult. And like I know in another episode I talked about it, it's like having a toddler, like having a four-year-old with the strength of a full-grown adult running around your house, and they can get anything they want.
Oh, yes. And any cabinet. So if you've ever toddler-proofed your house, well, forget that. It just, knock over the trash. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. I have encountered and helped rescue 50-pound pigs, but in practice, they really are 100, 150 pounds if they've been carefully kept at a good weight. And they're smart as a whip, and they learn really easily, and they want food. So,
yes, and the creative ways that I've seen people that had house pigs try to keep their having to padlock their refrigerator shut and having to the crazy ways and methods that people go through to try to make house pigs work would really make people from some other countries laugh at us even more. So one topic that I really want to talk about that I feel like is often overlooked, but is absolutely essential in the sanctuary world, is the importance of your board of directors. And one of the fantastic things that I saw on your website was that your board of directors is 100% donating and all vegan. Can you tell us how important both of those things are in ensuring that your nonprofit is fiscally responsible and in guiding Unity Farm Sanctuary towards a meaningful future?
We felt it was important to, right off the bat, make sure that we represented our beliefs and our mission with a fully vegan board. And it is an imperative. Sometimes people will have boards that need to bring together for skill sets. But for us, the mission really came first. And the idea that we can show the world that our board members believe in our mission, that they believe in it not only as their own vegan lifestyle, but they also donate to the sanctuary. And I think that degree of support shows other donors and supporters that we are serious about what we do and that it is important to recognize the value of that. Now, that being said, obviously my husband and I are vegan and we are definitely a donor here, but we are open and welcoming to people of all beliefs. You could be an omnivore, you can be a vegetarian and come to volunteer here, come to tour. We welcome everybody because that part of it, we want to make sure that people are able to learn from the experience. But from our board perspective, I think you have to set the tone.
Absolutely. And I love that. And believing in that mission and living that mission is, I understand the importance of that. So your amazing board of directors aren't the only people who help you keep things straight and keep things going there at Unity Farm Sanctuary, though. Can you tell us a bit more about your amazing animal caregiving team and how important they are in day-to-day operations there at the sanctuary?
Absolutely. So one of the things about us is that we are designed for perpetuity. We already have a plan in place. For example, I have many horses that could very likely outlive me. I'm 61 this year, and I have 4-year-old mini horses. So doing the math, it's certainly possible. So when you have that, or maybe you have a parrot, which I do now inadvertently, or you have a tortoise, you have to put them in your will, right? So the sanctuary needs to have a forever plan. It needs a continuity of a great board, and we have a system in place with a legal team that will help oversee that. And part of that is to have a plan or a structure for the people who actually will do the work. It can work for 100% volunteer organization, and we could not do it without our amazing volunteers. And I use that word with all my heart. But the staff here, the team, is vital. It makes sure that the very best care and the very best life can occur for our rescues. So in the introduction, I heard you talk about my role as farm or, you know, shelter manager. Well, I'm very delighted to report that one of our staff has accepted the offer to become the shelter manager here. It's Kayla Claxton, and we have an assistant shelter manager as well, Michael Tuberdike. And we have other full-time and part-time people here. And they are actually also vegan, which is something that I think they were called to be here because they love the place and what they do. So it was not a requirement, but it is a beautiful piece of serendipity, and we couldn't do it without them. We have older, sicker animals, so you have specialty foods and medicines and coordinating veterinary care and making sure that the hay is here and all of those things, not to mention the day-to-day.
And I'm sure that you were more than willing to give up a title or two in the process.
Absolutely.
There.
And in fact, we have on board now a full-time humane education director, Jennifer D'Angelo, who is amazing. And we couldn't be doing these new programs without her. No, not a chance.
And speaking of your education programs, offering public education is a big part of your mission. And I'm so impressed by your offerings. One of those is your upcoming Unity Animal Care Circle that's designed for children's ages 10 to 14 mm-hmm. who want to learn more about farmed animal care. Can you just tell us kind of a bit more about that program?
Yes. So we have a lot of programs here that are without fees, free programs for the younger set, K through 12 even, to come here, have humane education, meet the animals. We offer this one unique program here, which is 8 weeks long for the approximate middle school age student to really kind of build that excitement and that knowledge of how to care for farmed domesticated animals, but also what that means and what they are like and how important it is. So that is a beautiful program that they not only perhaps get out there and do some care, some brushing, some cleaning, learning about how to do hoof trimming and all of these things under the supervision of our staff and leaders here, but they also, they might have a vegan ice cream sundae bar as a treat, or they might have a painting session where they can personally select their favorite rescue and create art that will be something they can commemorate and go home with. So it was a smashing success in the spring, and it's just about full here for the fall. So we're really looking forward to it again.
And then one of the interesting things being, and we see this a lot here, being close to the city, is do you all get a lot of participants in the programs that have had very little to no exposure to farmed animals? Like what does that ratio look like?
Yes, the more that we're able to reach closer into Boston, many of these children have almost no experience. They might not even have companion animals. So it is something entirely new. And I always preface my tours here to talk about the fact that our rescues are, because we don't rescue wolves, you know, raptors, snakes, predators. Everybody here is a prey animal, a domesticated animal, and behaves very differently than many of the small animals that they're used to, perhaps, or cats or dogs. And they, the most important thing that we try to relay is that they're individuals, and they're not just faceless animals within what is considered agricultural and industrial businesses, right? You know, so when somebody gets to know one of my goats as a personality unique to another one, or a horse or a cow, etc., they take that away, and hopefully that sparks an awareness of individuality in, you know, maybe even wildlife. So
absolutely, there's nothing you love more than when you have a kid that was in an educational program or was at an outreach event that comes back and is like asking about that animal and has kind of learned more about the species. It's incredible.
Exactly.
Another amazing educational program that I want to touch briefly on is the Amazing Leap program, which Unity Farm Sanctuary was recently selected as one of 25 sanctuaries across the U.S. to offer this program. It's the first time it's gone nationwide. We're very excited to say that we are hosting a full episode on the LEAP program very soon. But what can you tell us about this amazing new program and what it means for Unity Farm Sanctuary to be part of it this school year?
When we first learned about the fact that they were going to roll this out on a nationwide basis, we couldn't wait to apply, because the impact of something that has compassion and kindness right at the core of it was right up our alley. We were really looking for something for the high school age student, because the conversations you can have as the students get a little bit older are deep and fascinating too. And here we have a situation where you have an alternative to less compassionate programs where farmed animals are the centerpiece. Here, they're the centerpiece because we're trying to do wonderful things for them and for all of the ones that may not be here, but that we want to hopefully have a positive impact on their lives. So here we are with a program that has a financial model too. There's scholarships for these students, and we have more applications, unfortunately, or fortunately, than we can accept. So it's going to be an interesting task to narrow it down to the number that we can accept this year. It's going to be a four-year program, and I'm looking forward to watching the podcast that you have about the LEAP program, because they did a great job of growing it, and I'm hoping to see it grow even further.
It is. It's tremendous. And just to see the different sanctuaries, and I love that they truly did a phenomenal job of expanding it nationwide. I mean, I think they touched literally every corner of the country. And so excited to see you all be a part
of it. Yes, very much so. They planned on that. And you know, the more it grows, the more the sanctuaries themselves are networking with each other and working at the same level, no matter how big or small they are.
And that is something we desperately need in this country as things continue to get harder, whether it be financially or the number of animals that need rescue, kind of all of those factors together, just something we continue to desperately need is sanctuaries helping sanctuaries.
I agree.
So one thing that I absolutely loved when I was browsing your website, and it kind of took me down a rabbit hole, and I was like, oh gosh, I could get in trouble with this, is the ability to watch webcams from a number of your animal areas. And those cams included like your alpacas and llamas, your area for your birds, your cows, your dogs, donkeys, goats, horses, ponies, minis, pigs, sheep, everything. There was something for everybody.
Yes.
And it was amazing for people. It is so amazing for people from anywhere to be able to instantly journey there to Unity Farm Sanctuary with just the click of a mouse. What was it that was so important for you all to have those live streams available?
Well, there are two really important reasons. The short version is that, well, who doesn't love a great webcam, right? You know, it allows you a glimpse into the life. But there's another factor in there, too. It is our transparency. And I believe very much in that transparency of what is happening here? What is their lives like? How are we caring for them? Are we being responsible stewards of the donations that come in here? If you see the animals living a great life and being fed well and in good condition, you can have that confidence too. So that's the transparency side. But the webcams also, like I said, you get a glimpse into their real lives and how individual they are. So every tour, I always remind people of this so that they can grow their understanding after they visited them in person and stay connected to their favorites. During the pandemic, by the way, they were really important for people. And we did countless free Zooms for schools, one in Brazil, lots in California, all over the U.S. And since I have a partner who is very techie, we were able to do this, and he could elaborate on all of the things it takes to make the webcam system work. But it works, and that's all that matters.
Yes, and eventually that may be something that I would love to do an episode with him on, just because I think that would be an amazing resource for other sanctuaries to showcase exactly what you said, the transparency. And I loved it just because it's amazing to pull up on the computer, even if you're not watching it in that moment, just the background noise. You feel like you're there at the sanctuary.
Exactly.
So you all have a big event coming up on November 19th of this year with your celebration of the turkeys in honor of Thanksgiving. What can you tell us about this amazing event that not only honors these fantastic feathered friends, but really kind of showcases and highlights all your rescued residents?
Yes. So we do two big open events a year, just two. Everything else is a smaller scale because we take it very seriously to protect both our visitors and our rescues. So two events a year where people are permitted to wander and visit the animals with our volunteers stationed everywhere. So Celebration of the Turkeys is one of those. The other one is Dudley Fest, which is in June. That celebrates everybody's birthday, but Dudley's birthday is June 1. So he gets the big billing there. With Celebration of the Turkeys, that time of year can be really tough for people who are in animal advocacy. And we wanted to bring a celebratory element and sort of subvert and co-opt and make it our own. So as you say, we call it Thanksgiving. We believe in all of the positives that are possible there. And we have vegan vendors, and we have different things going on. We have a wonderful art auction. So I know that there's some things that are directly art done about our existing animals, and I'm very excited to begin to show that for people. So it's something that every year has just been growing, and people really love to come to that. So I wish we could have even more people in there. But, you know, we do try to scale it so that everybody has a good time and our animals are respected, too, because too large a crowd, I feel, is stressful for the rescue. So we probably have, across the day, about 500 people.
Wow, that is awesome to have that many out to come and celebrate Yep. Again, like you said, celebrate Thanksgiving and all the good and happy that comes with it.
When they meet the turkeys and recognize that they like to be petted, they purr, they have individual personalities. Some of them are shy. I hope that they take that away.
Yes. And one thing you talked about is that you all do two big events where people can wander. And for the safety and of your animal residents and your visitors, Unity Farm Sanctuary is a closed sanctuary, meaning that people can't just show up. But that doesn't mean that the public doesn't have an opportunity to visit, such as the celebration of the turkeys and Dudley Fest. But what are some of the other tour opportunities and events that you all host kind of throughout the year if someone wanted to plan to come visit Unity Farm Sanctuary?
My favorite plug is always, well, volunteer. You can come and be with the animals all the time. But not everybody has that ability, or they might live a little bit too far. So we have our regular sanctuary tours, which are about an hour long, guided tours. And we have once a month, a very special version of that called the Go Veg, which has the exact same sets of conversations. None of the tours are different, except that one, we ask that people have everybody 10 and up, not because the conversations are harder, but because we can actually have more conversations because, we have to keep an eye on some of the littler ones and if they're brought to the tours. And intentionally, we have story time tours where we read compassionate stories. My favorite is Julia Denos's Sanctuary. If you haven't seen that book, I highly recommend it. And I'm a little biased because my Dudley is part of the artwork in there. But anyway, we read stories, we walk them around, the animals interact with these young children that are the preschool set, and they get their first interactions about how to treat them thoughtfully and kindly. So we have quite a variety there, and they are every week. We typically don't run them here in January and February if we have cold weather, because it's very cold and it can be very icy and snowy. But other than that, we're out and busy. So yes, we do hope that people won't drop by. If they do drop by, we can let them visit with the goats right at the parking lot, because the goats are very social.
Yes, and I mean, I can't imagine icy and snowy temperatures in Boston in January and February.
No, of course not.
Another awesome program that I saw you all are working on for next year that I think you have brought up pieces of in some of your all's other programs is your Art with the Animals program. Can you tell us a little more about that uniquely fun outdoor painting experience that you all are doing to help kind of guide the guests through the process of painting one of your residents there?
So it can be done a couple of different ways. We've done it before where someone has somewhat painted a model, not that they're supposed to copy that or anything, but it gives them an idea of what's possible. We have two different age ranges. So there might be the 8 to 13 group, and there might be the 13 and up with adults. And it's set outdoors where you are inspired by the residents around you and guided to make a small and simple plein air, which means just au naturel, right there. You're out there and you're not trying to copy anything in particular. You're using your own creativity to capture the energy and the spirit of the animal. So we're just working right now to find an artist to help guide that.
Awesome. And before we end today, I wanted to give you the opportunity to tell the stories of a couple of your amazing rescued residents and two of them that stand out the most, because you see them on everything that you all look at, everything about the sanctuary, is your gentle giant, Dudley, the Scottish Highland cow, and your resident social butterfly, Handsome Paul Turkey. Can you tell us just a little more about the story behind these two residents and what they mean to you personally and to Unity Farm Sanctuary as a whole?
Well, you'll see Dudley a lot on the website. Can't help it. He's very handsome. You know, he has his own Instagram page and he talks in a Scottish brogue. He is a white Scottish Highland, so he has that beautiful pink nose. I'm pretty sure that his followers all want to take him out on a date, you know, because he's very handsome with that Fabio hair. Works very hard at getting those crinkles. What he represents to me, though, is not only that he is such a unique personality, he's sweet for all that he's about 1,800 to 2,000 pounds with danger prongs on his head. He represents to me the sense of community of people who recognized his uniqueness, his personality, his personhood, if you want to even go that far to say that, at least I believe in that. He was saved because a lot of people worked very hard to make it possible for him to go to sanctuary. And that kind of community where people begin to recognize the need and the value of saving a life. Now, as I mentioned before, we can't rescue our way out of all the problems. There's a million or more, right, many animals that need rescuing. But it does matter. Rescuing that one life does matter to that animal. And we try very hard to network so that other animals get saved. Dudley is lucky, and we were very lucky to have him here because he brightens up my day every day. The same thing with Mr. Handsome Paul, which I think I mentioned he's molting, and that means that he's regrowing his feathers for the fall. And when you get to know what that means, he's got these little porcupine quills of new feathers coming in, and so it's kind of itchy, and it takes all his protein to grow those in, so he's pretty quiet right now. But he's getting ready for the celebration of the turkeys. He's planning to shine that day. He represents an interesting aspect of the last few years that I learned something by how he came here. He was one of those purchases, I would say that happened at the very start of the pandemic, because everybody remembers how the post office was the one thing you could pretty much count on at the beginning of the pandemic. You could get anything you wanted in the mail. Sadly, that included chicks, ducklings, and baby turkeys, right? You probably get other things, but in our case, we really noticed that because we had countless ducks that people wanted to surrender here because people were desperately trying to entertain their children at home in the lockdown. Well, Handsome Paul was purchased by some grandparents as part of a large group of birds to entertain some grandchildren. And they decided to keep the chickens, but not keep the ducks and the turkeys that they had really kind of overdone it. Now, I'm grateful that he got to come here. I wish people had not done so, but and not that he to come here, but that they hadn't purchased through the mail. But I always know how old he is because he was born at the beginning of the pandemic, and he has been lucky. He's gotten to come here and charm everybody that comes here, because up here, I don't know if you have them down there, but we have a lot of wild turkeys, and they're kind of famous in the town of Cambridge or Somerville or JP, and wild turkeys are not domesticated birds. They're going to maybe come after your shiny bumper or you. So they're very very charmed.
They really like your mailman up there in Massachusetts, from what I've seen.
every bit of footage, they're like chasing the mailman down the road. And again, those are wild turkeys. But here they get to meet someone who genuinely loves to be held and will sit and hang out with you. And when he's finished growing his feathers, he'll like to be petted. Yep. He's a great ambassador for all of the creatures here.
Yes, and there's such a misconception out there that that turkeys are these dumb, unintelligent creatures. And once you've met a turkey and interacted with a turkey, it is quite the opposite of that. So amazing when people have the opportunity to do that.
Exactly.
So if listeners want to find out a little more information about Unity Farm Sanctuary, where can they go to do so?
Well, the first stop, it's very easy to find, is our website, unityfarmsanctuary.org. And That's a great clearinghouse for all kinds of information on our tours, education, happenings, etc. We have a presence out there on basically all the social media platforms, so you can find us easily there. And one of the things that we have loved over the last year and a half is our own free app. So you can go to any app store and look for Unity Farm Sanctuary and download the free app. Register for the website free, and you'll get our access to our forum where we post first and unique information quite often that is not posted elsewhere. So you can also sign up for our email news, which is, we don't inundate you, but there's always some fun things going on in there too.
Yes, and I love the idea of the app, and I love all your all's like blog posts and educational stuff that you all do. You do a fantastic job of keeping it personal and telling the stories of exactly what's going on. It's very well done.
Thank you.
And lastly, what can our listeners do to join the kindness and support Unity Farm Sanctuary as you provide a lifetime of care for your residents, including those that are ill, disabled, senior, orphaned, or just otherwise surrendered farm animals?
It's true. We have animals that come here from abuse cases, your more traditional thought about why a farmed animal might come here. I have a factory farm pig. I have animals, though, that come from people who need help. Genuinely, people age out. They have unexpected financial difficulties. Perhaps they had to move, a divorce, foreclosure, all of these things. Anything you could imagine might be a reason. So we step up whenever we can. We network heavily with other sanctuaries. I've helped get animals rescued to Kentucky and to North Carolina and Pennsylvania and Maryland, all kinds of spots. And whatever it takes, we try very hard to save an animal. So to really help us, be kind to yourself, be kind to the people around you, be kind to the animals. And you can obviously follow us. We are a nonprofit, so everything that we do, we have to raise the funds for, and we always welcome donors and people who just spread the word too. So, you know, we love conversations with people who are willing to learn about things. Volunteer here if you're local. Volunteer at your local rescue and sanctuary as well. If you can do something good wherever you live, you have helped us.
Yes, and I love that message. And it's interesting, just on our last podcast, exact same message is just volunteer, just be kind, just help wherever yes. you are.
It really matters.
Kathy, thank you so much. We appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to join us. We're so thankful for all that Unity Farm Sanctuary is doing to provide a safe and loving home for your amazing residents, and for all that you are doing to provide educational opportunities, especially for our youth.
Thank you. And thank you for doing the podcasts, because that helps get the word out to more and more people.
Yes, you are very welcome.
Thank you for listening to the Sanctuary Life Podcast, presented by Butterfly Valley Rescue and Sanctuary. To find out more about our podcast and how you can be a part of it, visit our webpage at butterflyvalleyrescue.com/podcast or join us on social media at Sanctuary Life Podcast. If you enjoyed this week's episode, please remember to download the episode and recommend us to family and friends. See you next time.